Are you a thrifter? Someone who enjoys the sights, sounds, and scents of sifting through society's cast-offs to find the hidden treasures? You found the thrift shop of the airwaves, where 78s, 45s, cassettes, and LPs are spinning on the stereo, just for you.
I met a friend of spirit. He drank and womanized, and I sat before his sanity. I was holding back from crying. He saw my complications, and he mirrored me back simplified, and we laughed how our perfection would always be denied. The nets were overflowing in the Gulf of Mexico. They were overflowing in the refuge of the roads. There was spring along the ditches. Of Michelangelo, muscular with God's
darkness in the refuge of the road. In a highway service station,
Joni Mitchell with Refuge of the Road. Well, this is DJ Frederick. We are back for another season of Radio Thrift Shop right here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. We're tripping up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past century of recorded sound. And a little bit later in the program, we'll be having three songs that are related to the Old Man of the Mountain, which was the granite face that sat on the side of Cannon Mountain here in New Hampshire for, about 10 or 20,000 years. A rocky outcrop that had a profile picture that looked a little bit like Abe Lincoln. And if you're not from New Hampshire, it's kind of hard to picture in your mind. But if you are from New Hampshire or even New England, you probably saw the old man before 2003 when the rock formation crumbled and fell. But that'll be in a few minutes. Some music for the Old Man of the Mountain.
But first,
this indie film pick is brought to you by the Indie Film Minute, an immersive online resource connecting film lovers and filmmakers of all different backgrounds all over the world. More information is available at indiefilmminute.com.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Ethan Hawke, star of stage and screen, was beginning to doubt he was in the right business. Like many fellow actors and creative artists, he felt a sense of fear and inadequacy when performing. Losing confidence that his work held meaning or relevance, he was at a loss for what to do about it. That is, until the night he sat down at a dinner table with Seymour Bernstein. The result of their meeting is an extraordinary documentary biopic by Mr. Hawke. Seymour, An Introduction. Not to be confused with the fine J.D. Salinger novella. We would all be fortunate indeed to sit at a dinner party with the delightful Mr. Bernstein. We would all come away refreshed by devotion to excellence and with witty and passionate insights into the meaning of life, the arts, and the nature of creativity. Seymour is a quiet little 87-year-old man who has lived unpretentiously in his one-room New York apartment all his life. Dig a little deeper and you'll find he was once a renowned virtuoso pianist who gave up a thriving career to teach. His sensibilities, talents, and words are extraordinarily inspirational to students and friends who call him one of the most influential people they've ever known. Thankfully, now movie audiences may well do the same. Seymour, An Introduction. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Find us on the web at indiefilmminute.com.
Thank you.
Couple of really scarce 45s here on the Radio Thrift Shop. That was Bobby Burnett with a tune called The Dunes, and before that, Abby Baker with Moccasin Rock. We started that set off with Sven Liebeck, my favorite Australian composer, and a tune called In the Wave. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London.
Exploring science and the sea. It's been 65 million years since the last ammonites died off. Yet these creatures are whispering to geologists, helping them determine the ages of layers of rock that could be up to 200 million years old. Ammonites were relatives of modern-day squid and octopuses. But unlike those creatures, the ammonite lived inside a beautiful shell. The shell usually formed a coil, although some shells were straight or shaped like a helix. The shells consisted of several chambers. As the ammonite grew, it built new, bigger chambers to hold it and sealed off the old ones. It could fill the older ones with water or gas, allowing it to move up or down in the ocean, something that's similar to another modern-day relative, the nautilus. The first ammonites appeared more than 200 million years ago. The last vanished with the dinosaurs when a giant asteroid slammed into Earth. So ammonite fossils appear in layers of rock that span about 150 million years. In the 1850s, two scientists realized that the fossils were good tools for dating those layers, as well as any other fossils they might contain. That's because there were many different species of ammonite, each with a distinctive shell. Ammonites evolved quickly, so some species would vanish and others would appear over a short time span. And ammonites were found all across the planet, so ammonite fossils can allow geologists to date a rock layer to within a couple of 100,000 years, a mere blink of an eye in Earth's long history. Science in the Sea is available as a weekly podcast at scienceandthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
That stretch of 93, passing by Franconia Notch in New Hampshire, offers scenic views of some of the best mountains New England has to offer. For decades, the cherry on top of this ride was the anticipation of coming up on the Old Man of the Mountain. There he rested high atop Cannon Mountain, carved out by nature, against the New Hampshire skyline, with his melancholy expression, forever stoic in the face of whatever Mother Nature had to throw at him. A symbol of strength, endurance, perseverance, and serenity, all carved into one. The people of New Hampshire really seemed to connect with the Old Man, recognizing that it was something completely unique to their state, and something that was also pretty damn cool. It's hard to say who first looked up and discovered the great stone face of the White Mountains. It's been long debated and safely assumed by some to be indigenous Native Americans. However, the first actual record kept in New Hampshire history seems to come from 1805 by land surveyors from Franconia. Tourism began shortly after with several notable authors and two U.S. presidents among some of the visitors over the years. By 1945, the Old Man's majestic profile would become New Hampshire's state emblem. He's since appeared on highway signs, license plates, and of course, on the back of the state quarter. Sadly, the Old Man would eventually meet his fate, collapsing overnight on May 3, 2003. Years of tough New England weather finally caught up to him. To no fault of the people of New Hampshire, I might add, weatherproofing attempts were long in place. By the 1920s, initial work was started to fix a crack on the forehead, and in the late 50s, additional money was given by the state to improve preservation. Annually, the patchwork was kept up by Niels Nielsen, an experienced state highway worker, eventually passing the title of caretaker on to his son in 1991. And we probably have them to thank for keeping the Old Man of the Mountain up there as long as he stayed, as well as anyone else that helped along the way. The wake of the collapse left a big question mark. How best to honor the memory of the rock? This was a tough situation for New Hampshire to try and recover from. The Old Man became much more than just a tourist attraction, but rather a symbol that became synonymous with the state, much like their motto, live free or die. The first thought was just to build a replica of what was there, and an idea that was quickly shot down by the governor. The people of New Hampshire decided to go in a different direction. 2010 brought us the first phase of the state-sanctioned Old Man of the Mountain Memorial. An innovative concept to give the Old Man his spot back atop Cannon Mountain, where he belongs. Right where the viewing area has always been is now a granite-paved plaza on the shore of Profile Lake. This was the best vantage point for viewing the Old Man. Of course, nowadays there isn't much to see. However, thanks to some cleverly positioned steel rods, the Old Man is back. And here's how it works. The profiler rods have solid blocks attached that contain the image of the Old Man's face, which can be seen if you're positioned correctly. On the ground are footprints that direct you where to stand so that the profile meets your sight line. If you stand in the right spot and look straight up, it creates the perfect illusion of how Cannon Mountain looked before the Old Man of the Mountain collapsed back in 2003. For a brief moment, it looks exactly like how I always remembered, something I haven't seen in over a decade. Additionally, the profile rods and new viewing area help bring back tourists and help educate the next generation about what was one of New England's most popular destinations. A decade after its collapse, there's definitely a line drawn in the sand. On one side are the people that are old enough to remember seeing the Old Man and those that got out before it collapsed. The other side is the people that missed the opportunity, along with the next generation, not old enough to have seen it in person. To them, he's just a picture in a book or on a postcard in a gift shop. The rods at least make it something more than that. And that's what you'll see, parents bringing their young children, explaining that this is where he was, still talking about the Old Man of the Mountain like he was a real person. Overall, I think the state of New Hampshire made a good call on this one, because even if they spent all that money in building a replica up there, it would always be missing what made it so special in the first place, the fact that it wasn't man-made, and that Mother Nature designed it. The profile rods were an economically wise idea that at least give you a taste of what it was once like to view the Old Man, and that perfect spot high in the clouds is a welcome sign to anyone passing through. You may not see him driving by anymore, those days are long gone, but at least his memory is still well preserved where it matters, in the heart of the White Mountains, New Hampshire.
The Old Man of the Mountain, Old man of the mountain, with his long white beard and his crooked staff, he tramps along while the folks all laugh. With a twinkle in his eye as he passes them by, the old man of the mountain. He wears long hair and his feet are bare. They say he's mad as an old March hare. His cares are none, for he owes no one. The old man of the mountain. He talks with the birds when he's lonely, sleeps with the stars for a tin, while the beasts spread a feast when he's hungry, and God charges no rent. He'll live as long as an old oak tree and laugh at fools like you and me. Often sigh and wish that I were the old man of the mountain. Long white beard and his crooked staff, all bib, but they don't go to be muddled him to be more. The old man of the mountain, oh, oh, me, but they didn't bow, but that did him to be the old man of the mountain. He talks with the birds when he's lonely, sleeps with the stars for a tin, but the beast spread a feast when he's hungry, and God charges no rent. The old man of the mountain.
Oh, way up north on Cannon Mountain, way up north where the windows free, there's the oldest man. Thank you.
an old man lives there. High upon this mountain, no one else around. Somehow we got to talking. I sat with him and drank. Each other stories. I sung the song I'd learned. Whiskey, oh, oh, whiskey has made a wretch of me. Had gone retired to the country when no one was around. It seemed that the evils of men had surpassed. Expectations the devil ever had. The bottle, it was empty. It wasn't worth a damn. I started down this mountain when no one was around.
A radio thrift shop tribute to the Old Man of the Mountain. Musically, you just heard PG6 with The Old Man on the Mountain. Before that, New Hampshire's own Paul Belanger from a very scarce 45, the tune The Old Man of the Mountain. And we started off from 1932, The Mills Brothers and The Old Man of the Mountain. And this is ye old DJ Frederick here at the radio thrift shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London.
Casanova. Rakish seducteur, suave, dashing, librarian. You're on the sound beat. Giacomo Casanova's womanizing exploits were the stuff of legend, but he was also an astrologer, a spy, even author of one of the first science fiction novels, and one neglectful librarian. When poverty late in life forced him to take a position in a castle 60 miles north of Prague, he despaired, even contemplated suicide. At his physician's urging, he wrote his memoirs, all 3,700 pages of them. He probably should have been, you know, doing librarian sorts of things, but the exercise probably saved his life. What pleasure, he wrote, in remembering one's pleasures. You're listening to Johann Strauss II's operetta, Casanova. The plot is a bit Lifetime Channel. Strauss's Casanova flees not poverty, but the jealous husbands of Venice. And he's soon up to his old tricks again. To be continued at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Library. I'm Brett Barry.
I'm gonna go get some more.
Another set of obscurities here on the Radio Thrift Shop. That was Hub Brando and the Dreamers with Easy. Before that, I kid you not, Chuck Big Guitar Ernest with Blue Oasis. And we started out with Gene Ludwig and Soul Mountain. Well, recently, at the age of 94, amazing harmonica and guitar player Toots Thielsman passed away. He was also a first-class whistler, a jazz musician of the highest order, and he will be missed by many. We're going to hear a few tracks from Toots Thielsman's career right now, starting with Undecided. Thank you.
Don't you cry and don't you fret. You can bet one lucky day you'll wake up and your blues will be forsaken. It's dynamite, everything is gonna be alright, baby. Don't you know, don't you know, don't you know that? Get set, booze it. Pour some humming, 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 cause your love bands are coming now. Here it comes.
Three great tunes by Toots Thielsman. We started off with Undecided, then we heard Soldier in the Rain and Bluesette. And we're going to cruise on out with a tune called Flirt. I'm DJ Frederick. You've been listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. We're cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past century of recorded sound. Hope you've enjoyed the program. Back for another season for 2017, where we have to fight the fascism and bring the light back into the world.